from the Snowdown Roller Races in Durango, Colorado. Welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, ride less, go faster. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? But a recent study has shown the benefit not just of less riding, but of no riding. Not something that I would want to do, but I know someone else who might.
I don't know what you mean, Si. Plus, why we think Pogacar will ride Paris-Roubaix this year, why cycling could save your employer thousands, and how Canyon have cut their carbon emissions by 65,000 kilograms. This week, in the world of cycling, we learnt that Tadej Pogacar might be aiming at Paris-Roubaix after he posted a video of himself riding at the infamous Arenberg Forest.
Interesting evidence there, isn't it? Now, he either wants to win the most famous one-day race in the world, which has not typically been the hunting ground for Tour de France champions for the last 40 years or so, or he is, like the rest of us, just a cycling superfan.
Like the rest of us, just with a little bit more talent.
Yes.
We also learned that Tim Wellens is going well, didn't we?
Did we?
Well, yeah, he's the guy filming Pogacar riding next to him. I mean, it was on the tarmac down the edge of the Arenberg Forest, but still.
Yeah, that's not bad, that, is it? It's probably a cool 500 watts, one-handed. We also learned that you don't have to feel guilty if you take a sick day to go riding, because a recent scientific study has shown that people who cycle to work take, on average, 4 fewer sick days per year anyway.
Just don't put it on Strava, because you might get sacked.
Yes. Where you also learned that
Zwift Academy is back.
Come on, up, 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 up.
Yes, come on.
I think I can win.
If I didn't think I could win, I would not be here.
Zwift Academy Finals is the climax of a global talent search for 2 new pro cyclists.
For me, this is why we ride here outside and see what they're capable of.
Faster, 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 come on!
Over 100,000 cyclists from all over the world entered the Zwift Academy, and only the very best have been selected for the finals.
On the bike, you're giving 100%.
You gotta believe in yourself once you're here. You're picked for a reason.
And now push again! Push! Push!
I can't believe I'm like 18 years old. I've never been to Europe.
For sure, I'm ready for a fight.
Come on, up! You can push longer!
Zwift Academy is a unique opportunity.
4 strong riders.
But there is only one winner.
Look at this, guys.
I mean, technically, we did tell you that last week, didn't we? Yeah. But Zwift have now announced who the finalists are. There are, we have got to say, some fantastically talented riders on there, not including me and Dan, who are presenting. No. Now, if you watched last year, you'll be familiar with Mattia, who also returns this year.
He's got an entire army of fans out there, hasn't he? It starts this weekend. We've got 4 amazing episodes for you as the 8 finalists battle it out between themselves.
2 pro contracts up for grabs, 1 at Alpecin de Koenig and 1 at Canyon SRAM Zonda-Crypto. It's going to be premiered here on YouTube on Saturday, so make sure you get that notification. We've actually had a blast, an absolute blast making this, haven't we?
It's been brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, we can't wait for you to see it.
No. Meanwhile, the Alpecin de Koenig director, Christoph Rodoft, was on particularly good form this year, you'll be pleased to hear.
I love that guy.
Me too.
He doesn't like you though, does he?
No.
Not anymore. You'll have to watch to find out why not. Now, this week we're talking about taking time off the bike. This is in part due to Dan's current predicament, getting back on a bike after quite the leave of absence.
Quite a leave, yeah.
Yeah, and also part because of a super interesting article from Alex Hutchinson, a.k.a. Sweat Science.
Yes, not to be confused with Si here, who is known as Sweaty Si.
Thanks, Pete.
My pleasure. Anyway, the article is about 2 pieces of research by the same author, a 53-year-old master's athlete who's conducted a bit of scientific experiments on himself.
There is, therefore, a caveat here that the sample size is just 1. isn't it, in these papers. So we might have to take it with a little bit of a pinch of salt. But in essence, he peaked for an event, which was the World Swim Run Championships.
Yeah, you might need to bear with us.
Yeah, it's relevant. It is relevant. He did several tests while at peak fitness for the World Championships. He then took 12 weeks off exercise, repeated said tests, and observed a decrease of 10% of his VO2 max, which is kind of about what would be expected, wouldn't it, I think. However, he then started training again and 12 weeks later repeated the tests again.
And then incredibly, he had not only recovered all of his lost VO2 max, but had improved it by 4% in a run test and 6% on a cycling test.
That's pretty mad, isn't it? Now, his weight had changed, which influences the results slightly, but his peak oxygen consumption, irrespective of body mass, was still higher after 12 weeks of retraining than when at peak fitness.
Quite a lot to think about here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Notably, that as any endurance athlete will tell you, VO2 max is one of those things that you do need to sacrifice when doing aerobic volume. And had he actually done the swim run worlds again instead of a battery of tests, we'd see a less than positive outcome. But I'd say it's still food for thought.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. Doing fitness tests is not the same as peaking for an event, is it?
No.
But, yeah, a lot to think about. Particularly, there are plenty of examples of elite athletes who have performed really well after an enforced break, aren't there? Tadej Pogačar and Jonas Vingegaard, two such examples, both raced the Tour de France after a big bout of time off following crashes and injuries.
I'm not sure they're the best two examples, given that they both finished second after being off the bike and they both won it on other occasions.
True, but I would have taken second in the Tour de France at any point, especially after 6 weeks off. Mm. But in all seriousness, though, it does tally up with your point, doesn't it, about gaining VO2 max and then losing aerobic fitness, because both were super competitive at the start of the Tour, weren't they, I think? And there was no sign of performance decrease at all. It was just that they'd both come unstuck at the end, wouldn't
yeah, it? Yeah, I'd go along with that, particularly Pogačar a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was a serious unsticking, wasn't it?
I know, there's another more recent example, actually, isn't there, in the form of cyclocross specialist Joris Nieuwenhuis. He missed most of this season after taking months to recover from shingles. So he only returned to competition quite shortly before he then took fourth at the UCI Cyclocross World Championships. Pretty hard to argue that that was the best preparation, but it also didn't seem to do him too much harm.
Yeah. I was thinking about Matt Heyman, actually. Do you remember?
Yeah, good example.
So a few of you will need some long memories, but Matt Heyman was like uber domestique for Orica Green Edge. And then, did he break his collarbone?
No, he broke an elbow or wrist at Kuurne Brossekuurne in February.
That's right. Took time off the bike and then only trained on Zwift. And then a week after he got back on his bike, he won Paris-Roubaix, which was by far and away the biggest victory of his entire career.
It was almost 9 years ago now. 2016 that was.
Yeah. Cranky. Again, you would not have said that was the ideal preparation, but you also can't argue with the outcome.
You can't.
No. What about the rest of us, though? Okay,
I think mortals.
Yeah, there are two points here, aren't there? Firstly, not doing exercise, whether that is through illness or injury or lifestyle commitments, motivation, whatever, it actually doesn't make too big a difference, does it? Or it doesn't have to, anyway.
No, Hutchinson himself actually suggests it can be a positive thing because you get that great morale boost by building up for something, getting fitter again, which is pretty. Well, it's an addictive process, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. You're going to find that out soon, mate. Secondly, it should give those exercise addicts among us at least some mental ammunition for when that guilt sets in, when you miss a session or two and you start worrying that you're hemorrhaging fitness. Because clearly, it's not going to make a difference.
I don't know about that, Si. Might for you.
Okay, seriously. No joking about this. I genuinely do have that mental
right.
battle.
I'll take it back.
Yeah, please. No, I think I'm kind of getting over it now.
Good.
I just get a bit grumpy if I don't get to ride my bike. Isn't it a really interesting topic, this one, isn't it? Not least because not being able to ride is something which happens to all of us for many different reasons, isn't it? But also because it does make me question what actually makes you fitter. Because we know that consistency is key, right? We also know that variety is the spice of training. So maybe not doing training is actually, in a weird way, another way to provide variety.
Are you going
to
test this out, Si?
Absolutely not. No, because this is one experiment I'm definitely not consenting to. I like riding to be fit, right? But I much prefer riding for riding's sake. The fitness is like a good bit, but like if you stop me riding, That's the bit I'll miss.
Add it.
Yes. Guilty as charged. Yeah. Anyway, I don't have to volunteer for this because you did that for us about 8 years ago.
That is true, yes. And I genuinely can't wait to see what happens as I start to ride more, whenever that may be.
Well, as I say, you made a cracking start, haven't you? Because you did a ride last week.
I did do a ride.
Slightly down on the two rides from the week before. But irrespective, your VO2 max probably is through the roof now.
Oh, well, yes. I mean, I am pacing myself, though, Si. Got a peak before the end of February, of course. I'm also not going to be particularly interested in building up my own VO2 max for the Manchester to London ride. But then again, I might take note of my various fitness parameters just to, you know, keep a record of it. And then I'll probably turn pro again next year, I thought.
Oh, really? Have you worked that out?
Well, if a few weeks or months off the bike leads to better performance, imagine how good I'll be after around a decade of super compensation.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you put it like that, mate, it's a done deal, isn't it? Just keep us posted, won't you?
I'll keep you posted.
Maybe send some vlogs back from Harry Nice 2026.
Yes. Anyway, over to you at home. Have you ever had some enforced rest from the bike and then come back to being the best cyclist you've ever been?
Yeah, and if so, how have you implemented what you've learnt from that? I think this is really interesting. I bet there's going to be some very interesting comments on this.
There will
be. So please get involved in the comment section down below.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now, and we're going to start with news from Canyon.
We are. So the German brand has teamed up with a company called Canopy to make more environmentally friendly cardboard to keep their bikes protected during transit.
Yeah, so Canopy is apparently a not-for-profit organisation which is committed to protecting endangered forests. Their Pack for Good initiative aims to help companies reduce waste. Canyon estimate that they'll be reducing their carbon emissions by 65,000 kilos. Sounds like quite a lot, whilst also cutting their own costs by close to 300,000 euros.
Sounds like a bit of a win-win.
Well, it actually does sound like a win-win, doesn't it?
Meanwhile, over in Utah, there are a worrisome few days for mountain bikers and gravel riders after a new bill meant that cyclists would be restricted to riding no faster than 20 miles per hour when riding on, and I quote, a sidewalk, path, trail, across a driveway, or across a roadway in a crosswalk.
Or less than 20 miles an hour if the speed limit is lower than that. You don't think they were watching the GCN show a few weeks back when we sort of potentially mooted a speed limit on bike paths?
Probably not.
Hopefully not. There was speculation that it would kill mountain bike and gravel racing in the area, but thankfully the bill has since been reworded and that part of it has been removed altogether.
Interesting. By the sounds of it, it was put in place to bring in new regulations around e-bikes.
Are you sure they didn't watch the GCN show a few weeks back? This sounds remarkably familiar.
It does, doesn't it? But it just goes to show how much work there is to be done by authorities around the world who need to kind of properly categorise those e-bikes and put stringent rules in place for them.
It's true that. Also, you would have been okay if the bill had gone through in its original format as well, because there's no way you'd be breaking that speed limit anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, with my VO2 max after 10 years of rest and recovery, Si, I think I'll be winning Unbound before Manchester to London, you mark my words.
Let's move swiftly on, shall we? Sticking with road safety, though, some fresh stats in the US have shown that cyclist fatalities in the first half of 2024 had dropped versus previous years.
So five fewer cyclists were killed. Obviously, it doesn't sound like a significant step in the right direction. It's just a percent. But at least it is now going in the right direction. That is the first reduction in cycling fatalities in almost 15 years. Long-term trends in the US are cause for concern.
Yeah, they really are, actually. We touch on that in this weekend's video. In racing news, Egan Bernal has taken his first win since his horrific crash in 2022. Last week at the Colombian National Championships, he won the time trial and road races.
No wins for 3 years and then two in a few days. I mean, obviously the Colombian National Champs, it's not quite as competitive as the World Tour, but there were still some other big hitters in the race and he was a long way ahead of all of them.
Yeah. I thought you were going to make a joke about buses then, and I thought that was still too soon, mate.
No,
can't do that.
Now,
I'd really love to see Egan back at the top of his game again.
Agreed.
He's such a great rider, isn't he? Like, when he won the Tour, how exciting was he? And he's clearly worked incredibly hard over the last 3 years, so he absolutely deserves it.
Agreed. I'd love to see him back at the top as well. Anyway, next up, some good news for you, Si Richardson.
Yeah, oh, brilliant.
We'll come back to the news that cycling to work leads to fewer sick days.
How is that good news for me, Dan? It means I work more.
Exactly, and I get more time off work. So. I know this is something we saw on sciencealert.com that looked at a Finnish study that was done on 29,000 local government staff. So those who rode to work had an 8 to 12% lower rate of taking sick days versus those who commuted by car or public transport.
Yeah, so on average, those that rode to work had 4.5 fewer sick days in the one-year period than the passive commuters, which is quite significant, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, hopefully companies will see that and then start to encourage more of their employees to get to work by bike.
Would be nice. Might be wishful thinking.
Maybe.
Out of interest, how many sick days do you estimate you've taken in the last decade?
Well, I mean, genuinely, I think just one or two. I genuinely can't really think of any examples. I think there was like one afternoon where I was like, oh yeah, no, actually, I'll tell you what, there was one day where I did actually film something in the morning about unicycling, and then by late morning, I'd taken myself to A&E because I thought I was having a heart attack. Yeah, I wasn't, you'll be pleased to hear, but I genuinely, like, had this weird virus that was like, I don't know, it was basically like, it'd taken root in my intercostal muscles, and so every time I breathed in, it was like stabbing pains in my heart.
Underground car park all morning?
Oh, no, that was carbon monoxide poisoning. that was a different one, yeah.
Oh, that's the one. I got mixed up.
Yeah, I did. I took half a day off. I didn't take any time off after the carbon monoxide poisoning. I was filming at the Women's Tour of Britain the day after. after my unicycling virus, yeah. I genuinely was a bit concerned.
Yeah. Oh, good to know, anyway.
They saw me very quickly. Funny enough, I walked into A&E and said I thought I was having a heart attack, and I was treated almost immediately, which was nice, yeah. Oh, well, there we go. What about you, mate?
Oh, how many days have I had off of sickness?
Yeah.
I've actually had a few weeks off, but almost all of that was due to a broken ankle that I sustained during a rare appearance on a bike, which actually was your fault. Effectively, if you hadn't made me do that video at that time, like you, I'd have had almost no days off sick in the last decade.
That was unfortunate, wasn't it? Oh, brilliant, we got Dan back on a bike. Not for long. 3 minutes.
Quite an extreme way of getting out of bike riding.
It's true. But I mean, I've long said that your ankles are a bit fragile. Yeah. It's just unfortunate that it snapped whilst you went around a corner.
Anyway, in all seriousness, you would imagine that the type of person, going back to the study, by the way, the type of person who chooses to ride to work rather than drive is probably also the type of person who makes other decisions that are also beneficial to their health.
True.
I mean, I'm not saying that cycling to work doesn't have a lot of benefits. It clearly does. But there might be other factors in the results of that study.
Yeah, there absolutely are, I'm sure. But important to note, for a lot of people, just getting to that threshold of 30 minutes of exercise a day, which I think is kind of like the gold standard, isn't it, for seeing certain health benefits. I mean, an active commute is basically the easiest way to get that. Because otherwise it can be tough to fit in 30 minutes of exercise a day.
Certain points of your life, yeah.
Absolutely. I actually dive into this in a little more detail in this Friday's video that also mentioned about 5 minutes ago as well. Probably longer than 5 minutes, we've been wittering on quite a long time. Now, next up, we want to say thank you to bicycling.com. They ran a story last week looking at the best cycling movies and documentaries to watch. And actually, bless them, they started by talking about how much they'd enjoyed the documentaries that we produced that sat on the GCN Plus platform.
It was very lovely to read.
It was, yeah, because funny enough, when GCN Plus existed, there weren't any articles like that.
No, a good point. I think there were a couple.
No, people did enjoy it, but you know what I mean? Like, it's only the demise that this is an outpouring of love, because at the time, people just enjoyed it because it was there, right?
Yeah. Well, we're no longer here, Sally. Comments are going off the charts. Anyway, what we wanted to do was correct the article in one form by saying that actually those documentaries and films are still available to watch right here on YouTube. So all you'll need to do is take out a Casket or Beadle membership on GCN to watch them. There's a big archive.
There is a big archive,
GCN Plus documentaries with that membership. And thanks to everyone who's already taken out one of those memberships. Really genuinely means a lot to all of us here.
Yeah, it really does, actually, because it's not just the ability to watch the documentaries. It's about supporting GCN, isn't it? And supporting the free-to-view content that we make as well.
Exactly.
One point to note about memberships is that if you are watching GCN on an iPhone, you will not get to see a button that says take out membership.
You need to go to desktop.
Desktop or Android or But yeah, just not on an Apple device, basically. Right then, we will finish Cycling Shorts now by welcoming Core as a brand new partner for us here at GCN, which is super exciting. Many of you will have seen the videos that Ollie and Connor have done using a Core device in the past, all about heat training. And Alex was actually recently using one down at the Precision Fuel and Hydration Heat Chamber, the video of which will be out shortly.
Nice. You actually used one on your commute into work this morning, didn't you, when it was what? 2 degrees and rainy?
Yeah, I did. So just if you don't know what a core temperature sensor or core is, it's a temperature sensor that measures your core body temperature. The idea is that you can use it to do heat training that gives you really quite bonkers improvements in your performance. But anyway, I was just wearing it on my commute to work to see what would happen. Commute. Yeah, my body temperature reached 39.5 degrees.
Really?
Yeah, which like... Yeah.
I think this means one of two things, Si.
Go on.
Either A, you're hot, or B, you're about to get sick. I mean, you should probably cut down your cycling commutes just in case you are coming down with something.
Well, thank you for the advice. I think it's probably because I'm hot, like okay. I said. But yeah. Right. And I do have to ride home. I've got no other option.
Well, hopefully you're hot on your way home as well, Si.
I hope so too. I really hope that my bib tights have dried on the radiator. That's all I'm saying. There's nothing worse than putting on cold, wet bib tights at the end of a day's work.
You should just rest them on your core when you got in. You're that hot. Next up, you know what it is. Hack /bodge of the week. First up this week, Sam wrote in with this super lightweight bike lock made out of a steel fishing trace and a small padlock. A combination padlock would not require a key, but this one had been lying around. Ideal for a copy or servo stock to prevent the opportunist thief. You need side cutters to cut it. Weighs next to nothing and packs very small. A teaspoon of wine bottle as reference for size. Lives in the saddlebag, hence a bit crunched up. That teaspoon looks massive, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah. What a tiny padlock. I'm on the fence about this, Dan. Like, on the one hand, I think probably that might just deter someone from
not so
yanking
sure.
off with your bike.
This reminds me a little bit of, you know, when you get a new piece of clothing, it's got a tag on it, and you just go,
yeah.
Got a feeling I might be able to, I probably couldn't. But it kind of looks like that, doesn't it?
I mean, I'll be honest, I don't know how strong steel fishing trace is. We're talking a language that I don't speak here, but. I mean, because with some opportunistic thieves, you can imagine they literally just go yoink. And if there's a point at which it stops being yoinkable...
Just yoink a bit harder.
Well, do you yoink harder or do you just go off, sod it, I better run now?
Oh, you were close then.
Yeah, sorry.
You really got into the role of the thief.
I did, yes, yeah.
Potty mouth.
I stopped myself short, it's fine. I don't know, but then equally, you're potentially just lugging around something that doesn't work.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, the wine bottle looks nice. Well, I guess. When you're stopped at a cafe, I said to you, didn't I? I was in my local town, Ringwood, a few weeks back, and it wasn't very busy in this cafe, but there were two cyclists in there, one of whom had a very nice Pinarello, a custom paint job outside, looked very expensive. And they were sat inside the cafe with glass windows. Strange, that, glass windows.
Yeah, oh, yeah, nice.
With their backs to their bikes. And there was option of sitting on the other side of a table a bit like this. I thought, why are you not just looking out at your bikes just on the off chance that somebody might steal them? We told these stories a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Stolen bikes.
Well, we did, yeah. That's a sign of true wealth, that, Dan. Having a really nice Pinarello and then not looking at it when you're in the cafe.
I quite often pop back to the car park to check my Skoda Superb still there. 2013, 178,000 miles.
I was surprised you didn't just... pick the Pinarello up, so obviously no one wants it.
Oh, going bodge, actually.
I feel like it might be a bodge, Sam. Yeah, and I suppose the thing is, you'll never know if it worked until your bike gets nicked, yeah. So we've got nowhere to find out. But, you know, I like the invention, Sam, so, you know, fair play to you for that. Right then, Dan sent this next one in. Poor Dan, I broke my femur last Friday in a cycling crash. Oh, I feel for you there, Dan. Get well soon, first and foremost. I mean, we've just got to say this is a hack, haven't we? Basically.
Yeah, don't want to kick a man while she's down. Especially not with a broken femur, that would really hurt.
Yeah, a goodwill hack. Anyway, after strapping it to my new mode of transportation, the Canyon Walker, I can finally make use of the Musette bag that came with my Grizzle to carry things around the house.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, a little satchel for your Zimmer frame there.
It's a hack from me because of the injury.
Yeah, me too.
It does look good as well, doesn't it? I had something similar on my knee scooter, which at the time I was drinking quite a lot, even though I had an injury, so I used to transport my beer around the house in it.
Nice.
Moving on to this one from T. Glenn, 66. My commuter bike recently lost front derailleur gear shifting capabilities due to the outer gear cable housing splitting open below the bottom bracket. It was a long first sentence. This made the inner cable extrude the outer cable when shifting from small chainring to large chainring, and therefore changing to the big ring impossible. Are you keeping up with this?
Well, I'm just wondering why you're critiquing the poor person's writing style. That first sentence was a bit long. How am I supposed to read this out on GCN?
The intonation was all over the place. I wasn't sure when it was going to end. Anyway, 10 zip ties later, problem solved. That wasn't a long sentence, I just read that out there. By tightening 10 zip ties in a row along the outer cable, changing from small chainring to large chainring, capabilities were restored to the front derailleur. I'm now waiting for new inner and outer cables to arrive to make long-term repairs.
Ah, that's...
Oh, a key point.
That's the sentence I was waiting for.
I was going to paraphrase there, I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah, T. Glenn, it's a hack from me, my friend, because you are replacing your zip tie-infested... roadside hack as soon as you possibly can. So, I know that thing where your cable outer splits and it is just a write-off. So, fair play to you for getting it fixed. Yeah. It even looks quite neat as well, doesn't it?
Mm. I'm not sure whether to give this a hack, given the sentence structure.
Your grammar is a botch, otherwise.
It's a hack from me as well.
Good. All right, we'll finish this one up from Andrew Garris. After switching to chain waxing, I became sick of the noisy slash clunk break-in period of a newly waxed chain, so I decided to create my own automated chain break-in system. That way I could have a fresh, race-ready chain to go. This is genius,
it is,
isn't it? The 3D printed design uses a geared motor to spin the chain through a series of pulleys. One of the pulleys is affixed with a spring to maintain tension like a rear derailleur, while a microcontroller and LCD screen manage the run duration, speed, and monitor the load on the motor. That is utterly brilliant. I mean, completely pointless in many respects, but I love it. Well, I mean, it is, isn't it? Because presumably you just ride around with a slightly noisy chain for a bit.
For 45 minutes, by the sounds of it. Which is the last part. You just have to leave it to run for 45 minutes, and the results are excellent. But like you said, probably quite similar to the results of riding it around, albeit in a clunky and noisy fashion for 45 minutes.
I mean, I suppose it'll take you a month.
But we've got to give this a hack.
Yeah, we do, 100%.
We should probably describe the video for people that are listening to this in podcast format. It's like... Well, I don't know how to describe it. It's just
well done. We should definitely describe this, but I can't.
Oh, dear.
It's red. We could start with red. That.
It's really complicated. That's all you need to know. It just, let me tell you, it looks really impressive. If you were watching this on video, you'd be thinking... Like we are, that's impressive.
I'd hit the thumbs up button if I saw that, mate. I really would. No, it's, yes. I mean, it's quite attractive to look at, isn't it? Like several jockey wheels and the chain kind of snakes its way through. Yeah. But yeah, there are no pedals, no nothing. Just a motor generally turning it away. Yeah, no, well done, Andrew. All jokes aside, that is actually pretty cool. Impressive. And I love it. Mm. Yes.
Don't forget, you can get involved in this part of the show. Maybe you could leave a sort of an audio description for me to read out in case I can't figure out how to do it myself. All you need to do is go to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader to submit your hacks and bodges.
That's uploader. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comment section down below that relates to a photo we'll give you in just 1 second after the results from last week.
This was the photo from last week's show. I'm going to attempt to describe it, Si.
Oh, go on.
It's Wout van Aert shouldering his bike at the World Cyclocross Championships with a rather large rip on his hip.
In his cycling shorts.
In his cycling shorts, yeah. It's a skin suit, I think, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, good point.
Anyway, the winner this week is Turn, who put, caption competition, I'm lucky my bib didn't tear further, or else I'd be known as Van Aert. Very good, Turn.
Oh, that is brilliant. Oh, I like that very much. Right, Camelback water bottle coming your way. Just get in touch, let us know your address. What is our photo for this week, Dan?
This is the photo we're giving you this week.
Crikey.
It is Movistar rider Pablo Castrillo riding down what looks to be a sort of single track mean, I presume he is on a road. It doesn't look like there's much of a road there, does it?
No, that's a wicked photo.
It's quite a photo, isn't it? Anyway, I'll get you started. I know gravel in road racing is getting fashionable, but this is getting ridiculous.
I like that as well, Dan.
Thanks very much.
Nice work, mate. Right, if you think you can put a witty caption in the comment section, then go for it. We will pick a winner next week.
I wonder how wide that road actually is. I mean, it genuinely looks like a piece of single track.
Brilliant photo, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, we're assuming it's a road. Maybe it is actually single track.
Well, maybe, yeah. Maybe he's gone off course around a hairpin. They just caught him careering down.
Lance style.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, if you know the answer to that, let us know. Otherwise, good luck for next week. We will shortly let you know what's coming up on GCN this week. But as ever, we've picked out some comments underneath last week's worth of videos. Starting with three from underneath last week's show.
I added a few more. There's now five.
OK. Fair play. Starting with five underneath last
five,
week's show.
Yeah.
Andrew Labatt put, living in Louisiana, I have every right to the road as a vehicle. That being said, there are many roads I'm not going to ride down because while my family might collect the big check in the end, I'm not going to be alive to enjoy it. It's simply being smart as you can be, while you're riding.
Mm. So this relates to last week's talking point, which is where we said, are some roads too dangerous to cycle on? So even though we're allowed, should we give up riding on them, basically. Chris Werben said, you mentioned that Strava often suggests potentially unsafe roads. Perhaps they can add an option for riders to rate segments for their safety and users can then filter on safer segments. Just a suggestion.
Wow.
A lot of people responded to that comment by pointing out that Komoot does exactly that already. So,
well,
so
I
yeah.
I heard of Komoot, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that either.
Paul Grimshaw put, of course, high volume roads and narrow verges are too dangerous for cyclists. It's not an issue of rights, it's an issue of using common sense and good judgment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't disagree with that, but I think part of the issue that we flagged last week is that what do people new to cycling do? Mm. Because most people don't know that, and then they just, you know, they just ride where they drive. Which is part of the problem, isn't it? I like this one from Mark Geard. He said, I always say there's no point in having the moral high ground when you're 6 foot under. He then goes off on to make a few interesting points, but that was the line I thought was quite...
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, it is quite valid, isn't it?
It is valid, yeah.
You don't want to be the statistic, do you? And I like this as well. Smith and Short Dog said, for the non-Brits, telling them that a spur road is like a dual carriageway is like saying that a schmagel is like a quarrendickel.
Yeah.
I've no idea what either of those things are, which I suspect is the precise point. So if you know what a schmagel is and a quarrendickel, then please do let us know in the comments, because now my interest has been piqued.
Yeah. We'll have to look them up after the show.
Why Google them when people could just write in comments
for
the show?
Yeah. Anyway, I've picked out a few from underneath the video that was out on Saturday, which was me talking about why I don't ride so much anymore.
Okay.
Yorkshire tea drinker, but Dan has really bared his soul to us this last 12 months. What a man, what an inspiration, what an amazing human. Meanwhile, Dorothy B put, Dan is such a beautiful storyteller. Well done, Dan. Completely engaging discussion. Whilst somebody else put, Dan Lloyd. Handsome.
Who was that one from?
That was from Cervelo9465.
Hold on a sec. Is that not you?
It's genuinely not.
Because all of them sound, particularly Yorkshire Tea Drinker... I mean, that one sounds like something you would write. 100% an amazing human.
Yeah.
I mean, I think probably someone's got a bit carried away. Not just drinking Yorkshire tea that day, but something else. I did find a few more under there as well, though. Yeah, G. White said, time to get another presenter. It's getting boring now.
Right.
Which I thought was...
That was under Saturday's video.
Yeah, I thought that was a good point. And then L14MST said, God damn's boring. No wonder cycling's having such a hard time attracting new younger riders. I'm going to keep going. It's like watching paint dry. Seems nice, top man, but boring as hell. Get some new younger presenters with higher energy. Was Dan even a good cyclist? Top 100 in the world? I mean, no, he wasn't.
Stop.
Get some Tour de France winners and interview them. No one's Googling Dan Lloyd. We don't care that he fell out of love with cycling. All right, just say how you feel. Jeez.
I wrote that as well, just to sort of counteract the positive ones that I'd written for a sense of balance. Okay, it doesn't stop that one, does
that's
it?
That's absolutely savage,
just when you think it's peaked insult, it just continues on.
I want to know how much of that video we watched as well. I mean, imagine if you really disliked Dan that much, investing some of your Saturday into watching him and then writing a comment. I love it. Absolutely love it. Mm.
Might have been Lorraine. Wrote that, can't
it? Oh, yeah, L14. Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Anyway, yeah. I've actually found some positive ones also under Connor's video.
Oh, that's good,
which is the world's fittest cyclist. Don't use FTP, should you? RG807. I think I can speak for everyone watching that 406 watts for 26 minutes is definitely not a failure.
Well, I mean, it's a fair point, but you know how big Connor is, right?
True.
No, I mean, it is pretty astonishing, isn't it? 406 watts, like... That's some big wattage. Dave Lloyd, not related. So good to see GCN back. Some high quality content. Apart from that graphic clanger on dividing by 0.95 to get a lower value, it should have been multiply. Mm. Yes. I don't know who made that mistake.
No.
Oh, Connor. Yeah.
Anyway, on to what's come out this week. Starting on Thursday... how I improve my fitness without cycling in the rain. No, it's not me.
No, it's not. No, basically, Alex is on a bit of a mission at the minute, fresh from his victory in the GCN Presenter Challenge. But anyway, he's absolutely smashing it, isn't he? And he's basically refusing to get wet, which, as anyone who's familiar with Great Britain will know, is almost impossible.
So, are you sure you still get wet when you do 4 hours on Zwift?
That is very true. Very true indeed. You also can't wax your chain because it will rust if you sweat on it. There's no protective coating on a wax chain, so it just rusts in a second. Mm. Friday, we were talking about this video in the earlier on in the show, Death by Car versus Death by Driving. Quite a stark title there, but a frank look at the risks posed by cycling and relating to other modes of transport.
And then on Saturday, well, you know what it is, but we'll remind you, we're premiering the Zwift Academy Episode 1 2025.
Yeah!
Really genuinely recommend that you watch it. There are some fantastic characters and obviously very talented cyclists amongst the finalists this year. And I mean, I was there for the men's, I didn't see the women's, but I've thoroughly enjoyed watching Episode 1 myself. Mm. We've got a sneak peek ourselves, obviously.
Oh, yeah, quite a lot of sneak peeks. Yeah, stick it on your TV. This is one of those ones where to get the full benefit of it, stick it on your TV, sit down and enjoy. Because, it's good content, right?
I'd say so.
I think it's good content.
We'll let the people judge. In talking of that, if L14MST could write in underneath that video... let us know what you think of it.
Well, there are some younger riders in that one, aren't there? So he or they might enjoy it.
No Tour de France winners? No.
No, not overall. We've just got to put up with Matthew van der Poel.
Yeah.
He's not great, is he? No, he hasn't, no.
He's 30 now as well.
Oh, he's not young either.
Anyway, thanks for watching. See you again next week.